Please open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel chapter 2 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 900. Beginning with the 19th verse, we'll read through verse 22. We'll read these verses responsively. Daniel chapter 2, page 900 in your Schofield Bible, verses 19 through 22. The text verse is the 21st verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this service. These folks have, all of them, traveled some distance, whether it be small or great, to be here, yet the accumulated mileage of traveling just for folks to be in this service must be a staggering thing. And then the time that's given to this service, several hours by everybody here, we're thankful for a place that's worthy of our time, worthy of whatever sacrifice we make to get here. For truly, this is a place where we are filled when it comes to the preaching of thy word. Fill us again tonight. Bless with thy power. Grant thy help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read one verse. You don't need to turn to it. You read it a while ago. And I'm going to give you tonight something that will help you if you listen very carefully. It's a doctrine in the Bible that is often neglected and seldom preached about, and probably by most people totally misunderstood and unknown. The title of my message tonight is He Giveth Wisdom to the Wise. Isn't that a strange statement? He giveth wisdom to the wise. I want to talk to you tonight earnestly as I speak to you on that subject in Daniel 2:21. In fact, it says this, He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. What he's saying there, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the knowledgeable. That's what he's saying. Looks like he just said he giveth wisdom to the simple and knowledge to the ignorant. Doesn't say that. Says he gives wisdom to the wise. The honest truth is, you've got to have wisdom to want wisdom, and you've got to want wisdom to ask for wisdom. You've got to ask for wisdom to get wisdom. So you've got to be wise enough to want to get wise before you can get wisdom. And the Bible, and you've got to be smart enough to want to learn in order to learn. The Bible says, He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Our Heavenly Father, bless the sermon tonight. To all of our hearts, I sure would like to help the people. I pray you'd give me their rapt attention tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't mean a thing. I'm not going to skin your neighbor next door. I may get on you, so don't. That doesn't mean a thing. It means I'm just going to move around a little bit so I can stay awake. Dr. Jorgensen, you've noticed, all of us at the college have noticed, that some of the finest young prospects at Howells Anderson College are passed by some of the least likely ones. Shake your head like you know what I'm talking about. That's good. I hate to wake you up this early in the service. But it's those of you who work with the college students I'm thinking of two or three of them right now, that preacher boys that I thought would do a great job for God and build great churches. And the truth is, they've just fallen flat on their faces. On the other hand, some of these little guys that hang around the college and fade into the woodwork, keep their ears open, they're not real flashy, they pass the fellows with all the potential. Who would have thought that Rick Martin would be the greatest missionary in the world? Who would have thought that? I mean, other than Brother Nibby, he's going to be, but as of right now, Rick Martin is. But who would have thought that that little Rick Martin weighs about 63 pounds, about 3'6" tall. Who would ever thought Rick Martin would go to the Philippines and build one of the greatest mission church, I guess, in the world by an independent Baptist missionary or a Baptist missionary of any kind? Those of you that work in the high school are aware of the fact, and you've seen it again and again, that some of the young people that have the most potential, I'm thinking now of a young man went to our high school, and you won't know who it is. I thought the young man was one of the finest young men ever attended Hammond Baptist High School. He went to Howells Anderson College, and I predicted that he was going to be one of the great graduates of our school. He got off on a rabbit trail, off on a sideline ministry, and now hardly has anything to do with Howells Anderson College. And not a bad guy, but just pretty well disappointed me. On the other hand, I'm thinking of a half a dozen guys right now that I thought probably were afraid of their shadows. And they just are going to town. Or as Brother Hernandez says, they're going out of town. He said the Spanish department's grown by leaps and bounds. They're just going out of town, he says. And now, tonight, I'm going to tell you why, and I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. What an interesting statement. He giveth wisdom unto the wise. It sounds to me like that he would give wisdom to the simple and knowledge to those who are lacking in knowledge. But it says he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to the knowledgeable. Strange statement. Let me go to another. Isaiah 40:31, the very famous passage, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. We interpret that verse, and most preachers do, sort of like this. They that hang around the Lord and do nothing shall receive strength. That's not what that verse means. It doesn't mean you just get along with God out in the woods somewhere and do nothing, and God will give you strength. Doesn't mean that at all. They that wait upon the Lord, that's like a waiter waits upon a table at a restaurant, looking for what he can do for you, trying to find out what your needs are. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And by the way, notice the word renew. Doesn't say they that hang around to God shall receive strength. It says they that are busy serving God shall get additional strength. It means he giveth strength to the strong. He giveth wisdom to the wise. He giveth knowledge to the knowledgeable. And he gives strength to the strong. Another startling passage is in Matthew chapter 25. The story of the talents. A certain man was taking, a certain businessman was taking a trip. When he left, he gave some talents. Now, those talents are denominations of money. He gave some talents to three men. Are you listening to me now? He gave some talents to three men. He gave one man five talents, which is a certain amount of money. He gave one man two talents, a certain amount of money, less money. He gave one man one talent, which is even less money. Now, he said, I'm going to go away, and I'll come back, and I want you to look at me now. Everybody listen to me now. I'm preaching to you. He said, I want to come back. I want you to have made me some extra money here. Very interesting thing. He comes back,
And the fellow, and he reckons with these men, and the fellow that had five talents has invested those five talents and has made five more. He has 10 talents now. And so the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many. The fellow had 2 talents. He comes back and says to his master, I went out and invested the 2 talents. I want you to notice this now. He got 4 talents. He had doubled his. Now, the Lord said the very same thing to him. He said the fellow had 5 talents. I mean, God did not give to everybody the same talent. God did not give to everybody the same ability. God did not give to everybody the same opportunity. But God's interested in you investing what he gave you and bringing back some profits to him. So the man who came back and saw this, the servant who had doubled his 5 talents to 10, and the servant doubled his 2 talents to 4, complimented and bragged on them. Are you listening to me? Then he called the fellow to whom he had given 1 talent. He said, how did you do? He said, I know that my master is a hard servant. And I was a little bit afraid, so I didn't gamble. I didn't, and the word gamble is not the word I want, but I didn't risk anything. So I just dug a hole, and I put that talent in the hole to be sure I'd have it when you got back. And the master, who was getting the account, was angry at the fellow who did not increase 1 talent. He took that 1 talent, don't miss it, he took that 1 talent away from the fellow and gave it to the fellow that had 10 talents. Now, what's the deal there? The deal is simply this. Use what you have to get more. You see, God gives wisdom to the wise. He gives strength to the strong. You know how you get strong. You exercise. But you got to have strength to exercise. If you don't use the strength that you have to get some kind of exercise, you won't get any stronger. Do you think I got this amazing physique laying in bed? Yeah. Jorgensen. But anyway, I'm saying you take what strength you have. Listen to me now. You take what strength you have and use that strength to get more strength. And that's what God is saying in Isaiah 40:31. He's saying if you want to get more strength, use what strength you got. He's not saying lay around somewhere in the prayer closet all the time, let the world go to hell, never witness to anybody, never build a bus route, never build a Sunday school class, and just hang around God like the so-called deeper lifers say they do. And God does not say you do that and I'll give you strength. God says you take the strength that I give you and you wait upon the Lord. You say, Lord, what do you want now? Lord, what would you have me do now? Is there anything else you want me to do? And you get busy and you use the strength you have to get added strength. And so God is simply saying here, he gives wisdom to the wise, strength to the strong, knowledge to the knowledgeable, success to the successful. God does not give success to flops. God gives success to people who are successful. He gives work to the working and sense to the sensible. Let me illustrate, and I shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't. I'm not criticizing anybody, but I'm telling you something I couldn't do. I've helped to start 16 churches in my early ministry. I know what it is to go out, set up a tent, preach a revival meeting for 2 weeks, and at the end of the revival, start a church. Now, when I was in my day, we never heard of a fellow going to start a church in the United States going out and getting support. I mean, we just started the church, and once we got going, then folks would see the work and they'd invest in us because we're working. I want to, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not against that. Some fine men have gotten support to start a church in the United States. I just couldn't. I'm not built that way. I want to invest on something that is successful, not something that I think is successful. And God said, I'm not going to invest anything in you till you're producing yourself. He says, you get a little strength, I'll give you, and use it, I'll give you more strength. He says, you get a little wisdom and use it, I'll give you more wisdom. He said, you dig a little knowledge out and use it, I'll give you more knowledge. He said, you dig out a little more success, and I'll make you more successful. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is an investor. He invests in a successful venture, not a failing venture. I sent a little gift to a missionary, and I helped him get a little money, extra money for a building, and sent the money to him. He put it in his paper. Brother Howes had raised some money for him, and so a preacher, another fellow in a foreign country, came to me. He said, "Yeah," he said, "you gave that fellow some money." This missionary, by the way, is running 1,500 people on Sunday school mission field. This other fellow on a foreign field said, "When are you going to give me that much money?" I said, "Whenever you get 1,500 in Sunday school." Let me ask you a question. If you were going to invest some money in a missionary, would you invest some money in a fellow who's been on the field for 15 years and running 10 in Sunday school? Or would you invest in Rick Martin? I mean, you have as much sense. God has as much sense as you do. If you had some money to invest, you wouldn't invest it in some little company that hadn't given any dividends for a long time. You'd invest it in AT&T or United Airlines or something else. I'm saying that God is an investor. Now, you listen carefully. If you want God to invest in you, then you use what you have already. If you want God to give you more wisdom, use the wisdom you have. If you want God to give you more knowledge, use the knowledge you have. If you want God to give you more money, use the money you have. I said God is an investor. He invests in a successful venture, not a failing venture. And God, as an investor, wants the greatest dividends. So he finds a successful venture and invests in that successful venture. I found these verses as a young preacher. I found this truth as a young preacher. And I decided as a kid preacher in my early, I'm talking about 21, 22, 23 years of age, I decided to keep myself in a position where God would choose to invest in my ministry. I never went to God when I started and said, "Finance my ministry." I said, "Give me strength and power." Hey, wake that fella up over there. Hey, fella, wake up. We're having church here. Good night. You need what I'm saying tonight. Very idea sitting there asleep. If you're gonna go to sleep, stay home. But some of you folks, you do everything but bring your blankets with you so you can get real comfortable while you're sleeping. It just so happens there's not a brain in this building doesn't need to know what I'm saying tonight. And there's not a heart in this building doesn't need to feel what you're gonna feel tonight. And there's not anybody in this room doesn't, don't laugh while I'm telling you how to behave, son. I'm saying listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying, and by the way, God won't invest in you. God's not going to invest in you preacher boys that sleep your way through college. Or you little glamour pussies that court your way through college. Or you lazy rascals that shoot baskets all the way through college. I'm saying God comes along and says, "That fellow's doing something. I'm going to invest in him." And brother, as a kid preacher, I was the least likely guy in East Texas Baptist College to pastor a big church. But there's one thing I learned. I learned that God would invest in me if I'd get in an investable position. I learned that God would invest in me if I got in a position where God could. Now, I learned this. I'll have to succeed some before God invests more in me. Then he'll invest more, and I'll have to succeed some more, and God will invest more in me, and I'll succeed some more, and God will invest more in me. What am I saying? I'm saying that I learned all I could about the Bible. And I didn't store it up like some of you people do. You've been coming to church for years, never taught anybody the Bible. There are folks in this room been coming here learning Bible for 36 years. You never taught anybody the Bible. And that's why you don't have any more knowledge. I mean, you're taking in but not giving out. Now, if you'll take in and give out what you've taken in, then God will give you some more knowledge. You see, we're conduits, and our job is to take in and give out. And so for all these years, I've learned, and I've taken what I've learned, and I've shared it with you. And God has given me more things, more knowledge. I've taken what wisdom God has given me and sat behind my desk and counseled with you. And as I've counseled with you and given you what wisdom I have, God says, "I'll give you some more wisdom." I've taken what strength I've had and I've given it to you and the work of the Lord. And the Lord said, I'll give you more strength. People say, Brother Hiles, how can you, in your 70th year of life, how can you preach like you do? How can you get as excited as you do and run across the pulpit like you do? How do you do it? I'll tell you exactly how I do it. I took the strength that God gave me as a kid preacher, and I used it. And God said, okay, I'll give strength to the strong. I took the knowledge that God gave me as a kid preacher, and I used it. And God said, good, I'll give knowledge to the knowledgeable. I took the wisdom that God gave me as a kid preacher, and I used it. And God said, good, I'll give wisdom to the wise. If you want to be knowledgeable, use the knowledge you've got now. If you want to be wise, use the wisdom you've got now. If you want to be strong, use the strength you've got now. So I've tried to stay in the position through these years so God would want to invest in my ministry. I've never played up to anybody. Never. I've never asked anybody for money. Not one time in nearly 50 years. I don't know how long I've been preaching. But not one time in all these almost a half a century have I ever asked anybody for one red cent. Now, I've asked Russell Anderson for several million, but never for one red cent. One red cent won't do much. No, sir, not anybody. And you know what's the truth. Brother, we lost 7 millionaires in one day at First Baptist Church of Hammond so I could take these bus kids over here. Now, I'll do it again. I mean, I'm not for sale. However much money you got, I'm not for sale. You won't buy me off? I recall years ago when I first started preaching at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland. I was in my middle 20s. We had to build. We're growing so fast, and the church was so young, we couldn't borrow any money. No bank would touch us. I heard about a man named Goforth that was filthy rich. Mr. Goforth had a lot of money, and so he lived about 2 miles from me. I got in the car, drove down to his house, and wanted to borrow some money from him. I walked in. He was an old man, probably 69 years of age, on his last leg. And I walked in, and I said, Mr. Goforth, he looked at me and he said, who are you? One of those money-grabbing preachers again, wanting to get some money from me? I stood up and I said, let me tell you something, Mr. Goforth. I'm walking out of this house after this sentence. I wouldn't have a stinking dime you've got. I walked out and slammed the door. Within 10 minutes, he was in my office begging me to get some money. Give me some money. I changed my mind and took it. Now, you listen to me, you young preachers. Rather than go around the country begging, do something for God, and God will look down and see what you're doing, and God will say, I think I'll invest in that. Listen, God can touch the pocketbook of any rich man in the world. Get blessable. Get in a position where God will want to invest something in your life. We came here. I lost millionaires every day. Take away day by day my daily millionaire. But I'm not for sale. I mean, I'm interested in God looking down and seeing. I'm using what wisdom I have so God can give me wisdom. I'm using what knowledge I have so God can give me knowledge. I'm using what strength I have so God can give me strength. We built this building. Right here, connected to an old building right here called the Baptist Youth Center right up here. Connected to the auditorium over here that we used to use. And 3 months to the day after this half of this building was built and dedicated, 3 months to the day, I was awakened in the night and they said, Brother Hiles, the building's on fire. I came down here and stood across the street all night long and all day on Saturday and watched that building burn and watched that building burn. And this brand new building, 3 months old, was about to go, they said. I saw them take a brand new building. I saw them take axes and knock holes in those walls back there. I saw water standing 6 inches on this new carpet here. We worked for several years to get it built. There's a wall right here. I walked back right there about where the fifth or sixth pew is, put my hand up against the outside of that block wall and said, Dear God, I need to know if you love me. I've given it my best and you know I have. I need to know if you love me. Give me some sign that you love me. I called home. Mrs. Howell said, you got a letter from a fellow. I said, what's his name? She said, his name is Russell Anderson. You know him? I said, no, I don't know him. Russell Anderson had said, dear Dr. Hiles, you don't know me, but he said, God has burdened me to help you, and God wanted me to tell you that somebody loves you and cares about you. And he had a check for $500. Russell Anderson gave the first $300,000 to the starting of House Anderson College. Boy, you say you're lucky. No, I'm not lucky. I worked hard enough where God said, I think I'll invest in that guy. God's not going to invest in some lazy devil. And God's not going to give you money before you prove yourself. God wants you to prove that you're going to be a good investment, and to prove that you're going to bring dividends. And once God sees, he can get investment. But you're going to have to first show God. He giveth wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the knowledgeable, and strength to the strong. Get busy for God and work and do something so God look down and say, boy, I'd like to have a part in that. I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, preaching. Started to walk out to rush to the airport. My fellow said, Dr. Howell's going to talk to you. I said, I got to go to the airport. He said, Dr. Howell, I've got to talk to you. I said, I don't care. I got to go to the airport. It was on Saturday afternoon. I said, I haven't got 15 minutes before plane leaves. He said, I've got to talk to you. I said, okay, get in your car and meet me at the airport. He got in his car, met me at the airport, just before I got on the plane. He said, Dr. Howell, I'm a multimillionaire. Oh, I said, why did you say so? No, sir. No, sir. He said, I'm not used to folks shuffling me off. I'm not used to people. I'm used to people wanting to talk to me. And I've been begging you if I could talk to you. I said, sir, I'm sorry about that. But pennies or paupers or millionaires or poor people, they're all the same to me. And they are. If you don't believe it, check my record. I'm not trying to pray up to some rich backslider. I'm trying to pray up to God. That man joined with Russell Anderson and built the Evans Auditorium at Howells Anderson College. Look, God knows where the money is. People said, Brother Howells, all these people that you bring to First Baptist, who's going to finance it? The Savior who stood on in the synagogue where he grew up and said, in his first sermon he ever preached, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because it anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. That's the same Savior that can touch anybody's pocketbook. I'm trying to tell you tonight, quit trying to pay up to people and mollycoddle people and get in a position where God can use you. Where God will want to invest in your ministry. I was sitting in my office one day. A little note came on the door, return call. It said, return a call to a fellow in Maine named Jack DeCoster. I know who Jack DeCoster was. Picked up the phone, returned the call. He said, this is Jack DeCoster. He said, I came to pastor school this year. He said, I fell in love with you, your ministry. I believe in you. He said, I'd like to do something for your college. I thought, you know, maybe a bookmark for the Bible on the Lord's Supper table. The usual sacrificial baptistic gift. He said, what do you need? And I said to him what I've always said, I never tell anybody our needs. Never. Brother, he knows my needs, and he's got a direct line. Listen to me over here, folks. Look at your sweetheart later on. You better get right with God tonight and get blessable. Some of you guys going through Howells Anderson College, you're not going to amount to hill of beans. Not a hill of beans. While you preach, you're going to have to stare at your wife all the time. Get right with God. Get right with God. Well, listen, let me tell you something. There's something besides that perfume and the gal that's in it. I'm not against courting. I'm for courting, but I tell you what I am for, too. I'm for preacher boys getting right with God, and I'm for fellows trying to get to the place where God can bless them. You want wisdom? Use what you got. You want knowledge? Teach what you know. You want strength? Use the strength you have. And God said, I'll invest in you then. He said, what do you need? I said, never tell anybody what I need. He said, does your college need a gymnasium? I said, we don't have one. He said, how much do you think it cost to build one? I said, don't know. He said, would $500,000 build one? I said, I bet it would. Now, I didn't know what fellow looked like. I'd never seen him. I didn't know whether it was a fake or not. He said, all right, what bank do you use? I said, Garland State Bank. Used to be over here. He said, Garland State Bank. No wonder I didn't get that money. I said, who's your bank over here? He said, it'll be wired to the bank within 30 minutes. I said, sure. My name is Napoleon. I'm just going to fight Wellington in a few minutes. What a joke. What a joke. Some nut called me on the phone and said, if I'm going to wire me $500,000 in 30 minutes. The phone rang. It was the Garland State Bank. It was a Hoosier Bank. And one of the vice presidents over there said, do you know a Jack DeCoster? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said he just wired $500,000 that's been put in your account. I never saw the guy. He was at a pastor school where I threw more fits than I've ever thrown in my life. I'll tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that there's no better investment in this world with a dollar bill than in the ministry of First Baptist Church of Hammond and Howells Henderson College. Oh, my. I think I did Jack DeCoster a favor. I was his agent trying to find him a good place to invest. I told him to invest in his agent. I'm telling you something. You say, Brother Howells, you're lucky. I'm not lucky. We just worked hard to get in a position where God wanted to invest in us. That's all. Now, the gymnasium at Howells Anderson College was given by that imposter, that guy I thought was a fake. The big dining hall, $1.5 million dining hall at Howells Anderson College, he paid for that. The girls' dormitory, he paid for that. This parking garage down here, he paid for that. And that isn't all. Other projects he's helped us with here. I've got a sneaking suspicion he may have invested $4 or $5 million in the ministry of this church and our schools. Boy, you say, how lucky can you get? The harder I work, the luckier I get. God gave us that dining hall, that gymnasium, that girls' dormitory, that parking garage down here. God gave it to us because there's a church here that got to the place where God said, I'd like to invest. I'd like to buy some stock in that church. I believe it's going to bring forth some good dividends. And God said, I believe that's a good investment. Now, let me tell you something. If you want God to bless you, quit trying to get God's blessings and get busy serving God and get busy waiting upon the Lord. And God will come and say, I'd like to buy some stock in that person. I'd like to buy some stock in that church. I'd like to buy some stock in that school. But you forget it and let God decide when He invests. As long as you'll pass it on, He'll give it to you. One reason why some of you folks don't know the Bible and don't care anything about it, because you sat in Sunday school class for years and you never teach anybody. You don't teach the little boys and little girls class in Sunday school, little boys class in Sunday school. You don't even teach the Bible to your own children. And you sit here tonight, you're taken in and taken in and taken in and taken in and taken in. You wonder why God didn't give you any more knowledge of the Bible. Hey, back here, listen, young people, I'm preaching. You wonder why God didn't give you any more knowledge in the Bible. Tell you why. You're not giving or using the knowledge God's given you. He giveth knowledge to the knowledgeable. Hey, be a conduit. Let knowledge flow through. and then God will see that knowledge flows to you. I'm no smarter than you are. Honest, simple truth is, I'm not as smart as many of you are. Well, you sit with the house, how'd you get all that wisdom? I'll tell you how I got it all. I used all of it I got. God gave me wisdom, and I trotted over to my study and let you come in to see me, and I tried to use what God gave me. And through these years, God said, I believe I can trust that fellow with wisdom. I believe I can trust him with enough wisdom to help enough families, and he won't go off on a tangent and leave his church and start doing nothing but counseling with families and go on teaching families. I believe I can trust him to keep getting folks saved and keep building a church and keep preaching the gospel and not get off on some kind of a tangent. And God said, he's using his wisdom, and I'm going to invest in it. And one reason why a lot of people don't have wisdom is you don't use what you have. God gives wisdom to the wise. He gives knowledge to the knowledgeable. He gives strength to the strong. As long as you pass it on, he'll give it to you. I used to sit in Uncle Harvey's house and look at it. Multi-millionaire. Boy, I said, I'd sure like to make $1 million someday. I've made my million. I'm going to throw a wild guess out that pretty close to $1 billion has come through my fingers. No, that's not true. Pretty close to 100 million. Or is that 1,100,000? Or is that 150? But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised that $100 million has not come through my hands. I said through. I said through. I said through. Let me tell you something. That man right there? That man right there has no right to sit on this platform. At Howells Anderson College, I promise you, we had 100 preacher boys when he was in school, and probably 200 or 300 of them were way ahead of him. What did he do? He used what he had. And God gave him more. I recall he came to my office one day and said, I can't finish school. I've got to quit. I can't pass in college. I said, you get back out to that college or I'll kill you. I may kill him anyway. I'll kill you. I said, get back out to that college. Don't you sit in here and tell me you can't finish college. Get back out there. And Roy Moffat decided to use what God gave him. And there are people all over this room tonight ought to be above this man. You would be above him, but you've taken in and never given out. And God, Roy, has taken in, and what little he had, he gave out. God said, I'll give you some more, and he gave out. And God said, I'll give you some more, and he gave out. He gave us strength to the strong and knowledge to the knowledgeable and wisdom to the wise. This man right here, Ed Lapina. Our son Dave left a youth director job here. Dave was considered the outstanding youth director in America. Ed Lapina was just, how old were you? 19 years old. I had at least 50 applications from the outstanding leading youth directors in America wanting to be youth director at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Who wouldn't want to be? I chose this fella. People said, he's not what they are. I said, I'm not choosing what he is. I'm choosing what I think he can become. And that young man right there at the age of 19 took what knowledge he had and gave it to our young people. And God said, I think I'll invest some more knowledge in him. He took that knowledge and gave it to young people. And God said, I'm going to invest some more knowledge in him. He took that knowledge and gave it to young people. And God said, I'll give him some wisdom. He took what wisdom he had and used it for young people. He took what wisdom. God said, I'll give him some more. And God kept on investing wisdom, and God kept on investing knowledge, and God kept on investing strength, till there sits tonight the outstanding youth director in the entire English-speaking world. Some of you folks ought to be ashamed. How old are you? 36. You don't know how old you are, do you? If you'd use that knowledge, God would give you some. Some of you folks 17 years ago were way ahead of that young man. You know what I said? Some of you folks 17 years ago were way ahead of that young man. Now then, he's risen to be the outstanding youth director in the English-speaking world. And you did almost nothing for God, and the difference is that young man took what he had and used it for God and became a conduit from God through him to the young folks of America. I want to tell you something. You're never going to amount to anything till you get yourself in shape where God looked down and said, I think I'll buy some of that stock. Young man right there, very young. Came to me one day at the college. Shy, timid, not one of these cocky, know-it-all kind of people. They don't amount to a thing. All they do is criticize. I know it all. No, you don't know it all. And by the way, you don't know more than the folks on this platform do either. He came to me years ago. Not meek or humble, shy and scared. He said, Brother Hines, you think God could use me? I looked at him and lied and said, yeah. I never saw anything like that. I felt like the poor guy ought to go hide somewhere in a monastery. There's not a college student in Howells Anderson College. Now hear me carefully. There's not a young student in this college today, a young man, but what has more on the ball than that man did when he came to me that day. That man right there is known as one of the outstanding assistant pastors in the world. He's known as one of the premier bus men in the world. He's now executive vice president of Howells Anderson College. And the truth is, he passed you like you were sitting still. You know why? Because you're interested in God investing in you, and then you do something. No good investor does that. My father-in-law was sick. He's near death, and well, he just lived a few years after this, but he started getting Alzheimer's disease. Same thing that I'm working on. That's why I went to Garland State Bank to deposit my money. My father-in-law started getting Alzheimer's disease. Didn't call it that in those days. Didn't know what it was in those days, but we called it losing your mind back in those days. Somebody sold him some stock. He bought a bunch of useless stock, and much of the money that he had saved for his wife after his death, he wasted on useless stock. He bought some stock of a company that said they were going to fly a kite on the moon. And wasted his money. Some of you folks have spiritual Alzheimer's disease. You're not in a shape where God can invest in you. You look at me and I'll be through. There's no reason in this world why I should be preaching to this great crowd of people. No reason. Have no right to. Nobody thought I ever would. As I said before, I majored in Bible in college and also in secondary education because I figured I never would have a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary, so I'd have to teach in the week and preach on Sunday. I plan to spend my entire life teaching history in a high school Monday through Friday and preaching on Sunday the rest of my life. But what I did was I said, Dear God, I want to get in a position where you want to invest in me. As a country preacher, he started investing in me. At first, just a little bit. He wanted to see how much dividends he'd get. And boy, pretty soon, a few dividends started coming back, and God said, I think I'll invest some more. Ask a question. If you invested in some stock, and that stock doubled within a year, wouldn't you like to buy some more of that? I reckon God might be as smart as you are. I was talking to a preacher boy one time. Somebody had just given Dr. Robertson a few million dollars while he was in his heyday at Tennessee Temple. This young preacher said, Yeah. He said, Why didn't you leave me that kind of money? I'm asking a question, son. If you were God, whose ministry would you invest in, yours or Robertson's? I want to invest in somebody's ministry that's going to bring me some dividends. And I'll promise you this, ladies and gentlemen, a dollar invested in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, will bring forth more dividends than any company listed in Wall Street or the Dow Jones average. I promise you that there's not a work in the world that'll bring bigger dividends forever and ever and ever and ever than the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And it's not how cute the preacher is, though he is cute. It's not how dynamic the preacher is, how funny he is. It's when God's people decide to get in a mode where God said, I'd like to buy some of that stock. If you want to have wisdom, use what you got. If you want to have knowledge, teach what you know. It's a disgrace how few people ever teach the Bible they know. You sit there and eat and eat and eat, and your spiritual body weighs 500 pounds. You need some exercise. If you want wisdom, use the wisdom you have. If you want knowledge, use the knowledge you have. If you want strength, use the strength that you have. God said He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the knowledgeable, strength to the strong. And He invests even money in a ministry or a person. And that person is a good investment. That's one reason why I've never asked anybody for anything, never told anybody what I wanted, never asked anybody for a dime. God knows when He can trust me to invest in me. And I could stand here tonight and tell you miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle how God has invested in this ministry here. Ask your question tonight. Are you using what you have? Are you a conduit? People all across America, they're shocked. For the highest high in the world, you hop across a pulpit, you run across them. How do you do it? I'll tell you how I've done it. Bless God. What strength God's given me for 50 years, I've given it to God. And God said, you wait upon me, and I'll renew your strength. I'll give you more strength if you'll use the strength you have for me. Our Heavenly Father,